Posey, and number 12 has changed cars this year. He has the car that Vukovich used to drive, and number 12, Johnny Parsons, number 94, is the son of another famous Indianapolis driver. Number 23 is Chuck Gurney, a newcomer in his first championship car race, and he was very nervous getting in that car this morning. Outside him, a veteran, Bob Harkey, at age 44. Salt Walter is back, victim of the accident at Indianapolis 2 years ago, and George Snyder, that's row 9, and then we have the final car, number 96, Tom France, standing by for the green flag. We're live coming to you as the green flag comes out, and it's Johnny Rutherford going to the lead. Down underneath A.J. Foyt, it is Johnny Rutherford taking the lead in turn 1. John's not following him, but here comes Tom Sneva. Young Tom Sneva going into second place. It's Johnny Rutherford, Tom Sneva, and Gordon Johncock with A.J. Foyt another 50 yards behind them. The fastest qualifying speed by Johncock was 141.343 miles an hour. Very fast on this one-mile track where they're turning almost continuously. The end of one lap, it is Rutherford, Sneva, Johncock, and Foyt. This is Jim McKay reporting along with Sam Posey, the young man and race driver who did so well with us at Indianapolis last year. And Chris Economaki is always in the pits. So, a good clean start, Sam.
But I was really scared there for a second. It looked to me as if Gordon Johncock cut to his right at the moment of the start, and darn near had an accident. But he's recovered. He's running a solid third now. Former winner.
Johnny Rutherford
wants to win again.
Johnny Rutherford starting to stretch it out a little bit over everybody else. Tom Sneva still second, but Johncock breathing heavily on his tailpipes right now.
Yeah, I think Steve is beginning to, he's driving a little conservatively, and I think we'll see Johncock putting a pass on it.
Okay. All right, and here we have Johnny Rutherford still leading the race. Fairly comfortably in the early going as we report to you live from Phoenix. And there goes Gordon Johncock moving into second place ahead of Tom Sneva. In fourth place, A.J. Foyt, and don't count him out of it. We're going to be going back now to Super Team and Keith Jackson. The green flag has just come out again after a fairly long yellow at the Fast Track International Speedway. They're racing in the Phoenix 150, still in the early going. 35 laps of 150 have gone by, and Dwayne Carter has taken the lead. There have been two yellow flags here, one for a spin by Bob Harkey that caused no damage to his car, the other for some debris on the track, and the green flag came out almost at the instant that we came on the air here. Now, Dwayne Carter is the only one of the lead cars that did not make a pit stop. There he is in that white car number 11. The early leader had been Johnny Rutherford, the current Indianapolis 500 champion, battling with Gordon Johncock. But you see that Johncock and Rutherford are now in second and third place behind Carter. However, they have taken a pit stop. Dwayne Carter has not as yet. ABC's Championship Auto Racing. Live from the Fast Track International Speedway in Phoenix, Arizona, it's the Phoenix 150. In fact, Chris has a story down in the pits on the Dwayne Carter situation. All right, Chris.
During the yellow flag period, every car in the race but one made a pit stop for fuel. That one car that did not stop was Dwayne Carter, number 11, the Cobra Tire Special. We asked crew chief Gary Bond why he did not bring him in, and he said, we have used less than 18 gallons of fuel. He's going to stop 70th laps, and this bit of strategy could either win the race for Pancho Carter or lose it. We'll be interested to see if the car comes out. Back to you, Jim.
Okay, a good summation of that situation from Chris Economaki. Carter is still leading the race. Gordon Johncock, however, is right with him. Into the pits comes Salt Walter, who is not a factor in the race at this point. However, I should think that Dwayne Carter, Jr., son of a fine race driver, by the way, his dad is working as a spotter for us today, knows very much that that red car is right behind him, Sam.
Absolutely, and more remarkable is that after the restart, Jim, Johnny Rutherford has dropped way off the pace. Now, this is not because he's having trouble with his car, as far as I can see, but rather because he became enmeshed in an incredible knot of traffic, which he has not been able to work his way around. The traffic's opening up a little bit now. He's picked up a couple of places in the last two laps. He's dropped 5 seconds behind Johncock, who he was right behind at the time of the restart.
Excuse me, look at Johncock right now moving past a slower car and closing in again on Dwayne Carter.
Yes,
both of them in traffic, which was a very interesting situation. Two more cars to get by. Yes, Sam.
Rutherford is pressing so hard. He is desperately anxious to get by Sneva, who's right in front of him. And then right in front of Sneva is Dollenbach. And Rutherford is faced with the prospect of trying to make one of these very very dangerous outside passes, actually going around the cars.
There you saw Johnny Rutherford in the green car number two. So the action goes on as we come to you live from Phoenix, Arizona on a beautiful spring afternoon. We'll be right back. More news in the pits. Let's go to Chris Economaki.
Down here, Johnny Rutherford's crew. Tyler, does he have any trouble, or is it just the traffic that's bothering him?
Oh, just the traffic, Chris. I don't think we'd have been in the position we were if I'd have brought him in first and letting him go around one lap. He's running okay. There's been no complaints on the radio, and traffic is a little bit of a problem.
Well, many of the other drivers changed right front tires, but you didn't.
No, he was not complaining about the chassis at that point. We probably will change the next time we stop, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Tyler. Back to you, Jim.
Okay, and again, remember, this is all happening right now. We're live from Phoenix, Arizona. Temperature in the mid-70s. Again, a little hot for those engines, perhaps, as the race goes on, and much hotter for the drivers. There's the leader, Gordon Johncock, remember. Dwayne Carter is second, Johnny Rutherford third, and closing in, then Tom Sneva, A.J. Foyt, and Wally Dallenbach. That is the current leader, Gordon Johncock, who 2 years ago won the Indianapolis 500 when it was shortened to some 330 miles, as I recall. That was the year of the tragic accident to Swede Savage. Johncock, the leader in the race. A little news from the Saul Walther pits. Okay, Chris.
Okay, here's another man out of the race, Saul Walther. Seems like we had Phoenix, we ought to talk you out of the race, Saul. What put you out?
Well, we weren't handling very well anyway, but we had very hot oil pressure, about 220 degrees, and we had we picked up something in the radiator. We started losing water, went up to 230 degrees, and rather than blow an engine, it spilled it, so we brought it on in.
What about your physical condition, your hands, in Indianapolis, Saul?
Well, I'm in good shape. I'm going to run two cars next year, both Dayton Walther specials, two new McLarens, new engines. We got Davey Crockett built all the engines, so we should really be in good shape.
Okay, good luck to you. Saul Walther, back to you, Jim.
Okay, Saul Walther, the man who crashed on the first lap, if you remember, of that strange, terrible three-day Indianapolis, the year that Gordon Johncock here finally won the race. Johncock, 38 years old, has been racing for 20 years out here. Earlier, Chris Economaki talked to Gordon Johncock about a number of things. Why don't we take a moment now to listen to that interview?
Gordon, the drivers seem to say that Phoenix is the toughest track on the circuit, yet you've won here several times. First, two-part question. Is it tough to you, and what's so different about it from the other track?
Well, Chris, it is tough. You're almost in a constant oval most of the time. And I think one of our other tougher tracks, which we don't run anymore now, was Langhorne, Pennsylvania. It was almost in a constant oval there. Here you only have one straightaway. The rest of the time you're in a constant oval. I really think it is tougher here than it is even to run 500 miles at Ontario, California.
How do you compensate for this? Do you get a chance to rest, or are you on the TV all the way? How do you handle a tough situation like this?
Well, you know, we're used to running all the time. I think it would be, if it was our first race of the year, it would actually be tougher here than it would be like running one before, because after you're off for 3 or 4 months, you know, the muscles in your neck and your back all get relaxed a little bit. But when you get used to running and practicing a little bit, they, you know, they kind of come back to where they were. I know I come out here after I'm off 3 or 4 months, I've come out here several times and run a tire check. And I can run around here 10 laps, and I can't even hardly hold my head up until, you know, I more or less get used to it and get a little bit of running in and get myself conditioned to it.
Gordon Johncock speaking a little bit earlier about the tiring qualities of this track under the hot Arizona sun. Sam Posey, you have run here. I should think you might have something to add to exactly why this track is so tiring.
Well, exactly, Jim. Not only is the track one where you're always turning the car, but it's extremely rough, and we'll see some bumps right here. He has to fight the car all the way around the track, not just turning it, but fighting over these bumps. Right here, it's so rough, it's almost like driving over waves, as if they were frozen. The car goes up and down and back and forth. And here in the dogleg, the car rises up. It's hard to tell seeing it here at a distance, but when you're close up in the cockpit, the whole car comes off the ground and settles down, and then it's rough again.
Would you say that this race is actually more tiring than the Indianapolis 500, for example?
I think it definitely is, and it's only 150 miles. The reason is there's just no straightaway. Three-quarters of the lap time is spent in the turns.
Okay, well, Gordon Johncock continues to lead the race, as you can see, followed by Pancho Carter, Johnny Rutherford, Tom Sneva, A.J. Foyt. That's the story live, and we'll be back to it in another minute. back again live at Fast Track International Speedway, Phoenix, Arizona. A.J. Foyt is currently fifth in the race. He does not appear to be in contention at this moment. However, there are more pit stops to come. There's a look at the pace of one of the great racing drivers, not only of the United States, but of the world, and I'm speaking on an all-time basis. The man who has already won the Indianapolis 500 three times. Other men have done that, but nobody has ever won it four times, and he not only has a hope, he has a very serious chance to win it this year. In the pits right now is Pancho Carter, who led the race briefly, but if you remember, only because he had not made his first pit stop. He is not only making that pit stop now, but it is turning into a somewhat lengthy one. Down to you, Chris.
Well, Pancho Carter made his pit stop. The officials made him move the car back. The strategy has backfired for Pancho Carter. He made his stop under the green, which cost him time, and he was placed wrong. They had to push the car back, and now, for all practical purposes, he's out of it. Back to you, Jim.
Okay, back out on the racetrack goes Pancho Carter, but now, as Chris indicated, and as we saw, not much of a factor. A.J. Foyt, however, as we said, depending on pit stops, depending on yellow flags here, could still get into the battle. Just last Sunday, he won the Ontario 500, won it so impressively that he's already been made what you might call the winner book favorite for this year's Indianapolis 500. I started to say before that he's won it three times, that he certainly hopes he can win it four times. I mean, the only man ever to do that before he retires. He is 40 years old now. And almost every year, he's been a factor in one way or another on the Speedway. We're going to take a look right now at his last victory in the Indianapolis 500. It was in 1967, a fantastically exciting and traumatic race, particularly the finish, when it looked like he had it wrapped up. This General Cigar ABC Sports Special highlight is brought to you by Night Owl, a new cigar with a new look and a great taste. Night Owl, it's different. Now let's go back to the year 1967.
Before, but now all he has to do is negotiate each of these four turns one more time, and it's all over. A.J. Foyt will win his third Indianapolis 500, a great comeback after last year's disappointing season for him.
Well, he drove a great race. He just stayed in there all day long.
And there's an accident on the front four.
Two, three, four cars. Great point. I mean, what he can get through or not.
Arizona. Dwayne Carter out on the track has dropped back several places after the rather lengthy pit stop that he took, the gamble not paying off. However, right now, I believe Chris Conomacki is with his wife Carla down there in the pits. Chris?
Yeah, Carla Carter, for a while there, it looked like your husband of just a few months would be the winner. What were you thinking about that?
I was very excited when I saw him in the lead, but I knew that he hadn't hit it yet, that he would be a lap down.
So he made a pit stop yours in a long time.
Yes, I know.
Okay, now let's get back up on front. Let's take a look at the leader for a moment. Again, it's Gordon Johncock. Johncock, who started off the race on the pole, fell back behind Johnny Rutherford in time past Rutherford, then lost the lead to Dwayne Carter on the yellow flag and on the when Carter did not take the first pit stop. And now is very comfortably floating along the lead. Do you see any potential clouds on his horizon, Sam?
I don't, Jim. It seems to me that he's driving an unusually easy and controlled race, having had some trouble in the early laps. Of course, one thing that's made it a lot easier for him is that the race is missing Mr. Mario Andretti and the two Unser brothers, Bobby and Al. Now, there's an underlying reason for this. It has to do with the finances and USAC and so forth. But the point is, they're not here. As drivers, they would probably love to be here. But the finances were not there for their teams to bring their cars here. So this has made it easier for Gordon Johncock, because three guys that might easily be leading him are not here. However, I should say that last fall, Gordon Johncock won, and all those men were in the race. So let's not look at this as someone who's leading, you know, a hollow race.
It is rather a strange mood around the beginning of the championship car season in USAC this time. As Sam Posey mentioned, the finances are not what they once were. A lot of the big money that was sponsoring this team is not there anymore. For that reason, some
of them are operating on smaller budgets, and there's kind of a feeling of small insecurity. Take a look at this statistic that we put up for you here. National championship all-time race winner, 1956. Wait a minute, we've got somebody coming in, Raleigh Dallenbach. All right, we'll get on that in a moment. But look at A.J. Foyt with 49 wins. Mario Andretti closest to him with 32. Alonso with 28. Roger Ward had 24. And of course, his career has ended. And Bobby Unser with 21. An amazing thing. This could be the 50th for A.J. if he should have any chance winning. I mentioned that Dallenbach was coming into the pits. Now, he started among the leaders. He has been among the leaders in the race. This does not appear to be his schedule. Not what is it? Maybe it is.
Hard to say. There's smoke pouring off the left front brake. He could be having some trouble with the brake.
Word is a flat right front tire. So good enough reason to come in. Now I'm back out again. That'll drop him back in the standing. There's the leader again. The red car, number 20, is Gordon Johncock. And there is Tom Stever. Stever, who's been running third all through this race, has slowed down on the backstretch. So the attrition rate begins. We had 19 cars start. I suspect by the time it's finished, it's going to be a lot fewer than that. How about the effect of the heat on the engines as well as the drivers? Is that beginning possibly, Sam?
Very much so. It's not blisteringly hot here, that is to say over 90 degrees, but by this time in the race, it could be, we've got a yellow here.
Well, yeah, that's because of Tom Sneva, I believe.
All right, fine. It could easily be that within, 15 or 20 minutes, that the heat could be getting to the engines in a serious way. I don't believe that engine trouble is Sneva's hassle, though. I think he's had some sort of gear trouble, because it seemed to me that once he slowed, he began to pick up speed again. However, they're doing only routine things to the car. See the man crouched down, looking right in his cockpit. He's trying to get the word from Sneva just what is wrong with the car. Whatever it is, they've decided they can't do anything about it right there, nor is it a terminal illness, as he's now driving back onto the track.
Okay, well, just before he started to slow down, this is what happened to him. This is just a few moments ago. Spin by Tom Sneva is the reason that the yellow flag is out. However, as Sam indicated, it did no appreciable damage to his car because he's back out on the track again. There is the leader in the pits right now, Gordon Johncock. Now, remember, we mentioned that they would at least take two pit stops. It's a very strange man from Mars. Look, it looks like he can hardly see out of that mask. The reason for that is they are limited on fuel this season. They must be able to go at least 1.8 miles per gallon, as you look at the leader close up again. They must be able to go 1.8 miles per gallon. And to enforce that, they only give them a certain amount of fuel. That being the case, even though it's only a 150-mile race, there will be at least two pit stops. Johnny Rutherford coming into the pits now.
You know, Jim,
coming out of the pits.
This is the second time that the McLaren crew, which is only one car to look after, has been a little slower than the Bignotti crew, which has two cars to look after.
Okay, Rutherford still in pursuit of Gordon Johncock, and not too close pursuit at this point. However, this yellow flag could juggle things just a little bit. Stand by, and we'll be back again live from Phoenix to explore that situation. Talking about the fact that they are required to get 1.8 miles per gallon, there have been a number of changes in the specifications, and there's also that situation tying in racing this year with what is a kind of poverty row deal, at least comparatively speaking, for the men of the championship circuit. There isn't as much money around. Some people think that's going to result in changed automobiles and other changed formula. We talked to some of the owners about this situation. And in addition to that, we have taken a look at the automobiles themselves. Before the race is over, we'll be exploring both of those things. The Chris Economaki stood with this year's car as it is now, and with a car that may be the wave of the future. Let's take a look at that.
The talk up and down pit road these days are rules, specifications, and what they mean. The fuel allowance for 1975 is 1.8 miles per gallon. Not enough, say the owners of the turbocharged Oppenhauser cars. For 1976, the mileage will have to be 2.4 per gallon. Not enough for a turbocharged Oppenhauser like this Norton Spirit to be driven today by Tom Sneva. This engine, a four-cylinder racing power plant with a turbocharger, puts out up to 1,000 horsepower free of restrictions and costs $31,500 to buy. What does it mean? It means that cars like this Crowler Special, an Eagle with a stock block Chevrolet engine, perhaps may be the racing car of the future. This engine, produced in Detroit and modified by its owner, costs only about $5,500. The advantages and disadvantages? This engine is about 100 pounds heavier than that engine, and perhaps by next year aluminum blocks will be allowed, which would make this one that much lighter. The cost, of course, is of great importance. $5,500 against $31,500. By next year at Indianapolis time, there may be many stock blocks and many Oppenhausers. But perhaps by the end of 1976, the turbocharged Oppenhauser, as we see it here, may well be a thing of the past.
Okay, that was a car comparison done earlier by Chris Economaki. The green flag has just fallen again, and the leader in the race, because of the pit stop situation, is now A.J. Foyt. We're talking about him just a few minutes ago. A.J. has taken the lead. He did not make a pit stop this time, and it may be that the old fox, before this day is over, could outsmart them. Now, he's only about 100 yards ahead of Gordon Johncock, even so, but you think, Sam, that A.J. might be able to get by with one less pit stop than everybody else?
Well, this has been something I've been thinking about throughout the race, Jim. Right at the beginning, A.J. dropped back gradually, not in huge chunks, nothing clearly wrong with the car, but I observed that he was a little slow off the turns, and I suspect that he may be just not having as much horsepower cranked into his car at this moment. The idea that on a long, hot day of racing, one fewer stop could be an incredible tactical advantage. At the moment, it seems to be working, although Gordon Johncock is, 100, 150 yards behind at the most. So it'll be hard to tell. Now, Foyt, the car is handling all right, but it's what the racers call pushing. The front end wants to steer up against the wall a little bit.
That's what you road racers call understeering, right?
That's right.
Very briefly, with A.J. Foyt in the lead in the race, we're going to go back to our New York studio and Frank Gifford.
Thank you, Jim, and just a quick couple of notes here. In golf, well, that man is back again. Jack Nicklaus this afternoon has won the Doral Open. That's Jack's first win since Atlanta a year ago, but stay in mind, the big ones are ahead, and Jack always gets ready for the big ones. But Jack Nicklaus, the winner of the Doral Open in Florida. Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies reported some bad news this afternoon. Relief pitcher Tug McGraw has been flown back to Philadelphia from their Clearwater, Florida training camp. He's still suffering the back and shoulder miseries which plagued him most of last year. Team doctors say the Tug will probably need surgery. Okay, let's go back to Jim McKay, Sam Posey.
All right, Frank, again, back live. A.J. Foyt still leading the race. And remember, should he win this today, it will be another milestone in his fabulous career. This will be his 50th win on the USAC Championship or Indianapolis Car Trail. His 26th year of driving race cars, he just, as we said, is one of the great race drivers of all time. However, all his hopes here seem to depend on him taking one less pit stop than, let's say, Gordon Johncock, who's in second place. A.J. Foyt, at age 40, is the father of three children, three-time Indianapolis winner, and a man who's looking for that Indy win number four. This is not the car, by the way, that he will be driving in Indianapolis. This is, in fact, one of his other cars from last year. It's not the car that he had last Sunday at Ontario, either. Okay, let's go back just a little bit in time to an interview that Chris had with A.J.
Well, A.J., firstly, congratulations on your victory in the California 500 last week. It was quite a triumph. Today could be an unprecedented 50th national championship victory for A.J. Foyt. Is that on your mind?
Not really, Chris. We're just on a rise, try to finish the race, and I don't know. We're just not handling like we normally do, and, you know, we just haven't had no practice time too much on the mile, so we're just going to do the best we can.
You got a scowl on your face, A.J. You don't really look too happy.
I've been having some trouble.
A.J., what about a sixth national championship? You've got a big points with the 500 victory last week, and you could add to that today. Are you thinking about that?
Not really. We quit running for the national championships after I won the fifth time, Chris. I haven't campaigned to try to win the title. If it falls in place this year and we win it, we win it. If it's not, I don't really care.
But A.J., you went to Australia to do something new, and you've done just about everything there is to do in automobile racing. So what would be next for you?
I really don't know. And actually, the big hope, I hope I can be the four-time winner at Indianapolis. And this is really what we're working for, our next goal. And we're going to do everything possible to try to win that race this year.
A.J., Phoenix is a track that needs a handling car, I'm sure. So a man with a handling problem like yourself, and some of the other drivers have said their cars aren't handling problem either. What does it mean on the track?
Well, Phoenix is a tricky racetrack, and it seems like you can have a car handling just beautiful, and then all of a sudden the track conditions have changed, and it just messes up the whole handling qualities, and also the performance of the motor. If you're not handling good, it's hard to come off a number one and two corner like you should. And this is kind of what I'm encountering right now. I'm having trouble between one and two pushing the front end, and when I got to stay out of the throttle, it's hard to get the supercharger running again.
Okay, that was AJ just before the race, and here he is now as we come to you live from outside Phoenix, Arizona, leading the Phoenix 150. 95 of 150 laps have gone by, but at this moment, if AJ glances in his rearview mirror, and you can be sure he is, he sees a threat. It's in the person of the current Indianapolis 500 champion, Johnny Rutherford. Rutherford, who had dropped back in the pace on a couple of the pit stop situations, has now gotten back into second place. There he is in that color green that was never seen among this set until Jack Brabham came in the early 60s in a British racing green car to Indianapolis. Very close to AJ Foyt. Now, this is real racing, Sam.
Indeed it is, and I've been watching the pursuit that Rutherford's been putting on Foyt, and here's the answer. Rutherford is able to run higher in the groove. You saw him there, just a little bit further out of the groove. Foyt, for some reason, is tucked down into the turn, where it's a little bit rougher. Apparently, because of the understeer, the pushing that we mentioned earlier, he cannot afford to let his car get a little bit wide out of the groove, or else he might be up into the wall.
We have a yellow flag. Excuse me, Sam. No apparent reason. I don't see a spun car. Nobody hit the wall, but it is going to mean another pit stop situation coming up. A number of the crews getting tires out, getting the hose ready for fueling. Again, this could change the story on the race. Mike Mosley is coming into the pits. He isn't a factor at this point. There you still see the leader and Gordon Johncock. And we have Tom Sneva in the pits. He spun early, which took him out of contention. He had been running third in the early going.
Now, so far, neither of the leaders, neither Foyt nor Rutherford, have decided to pit.
Okay, we'll stand by and keep a close eye on that situation. Right now, we're going to go away very briefly and come back and see if they take those pit stops. All right, we're back live again at Phoenix, where they're still running under the yellow. However, there has been a most important development. The USAC scoring system informs us now that they were mistaken and that A.J. Foyt was not leading the race, that Johnny Rutherford is, in fact, the race leader with Gordon Johncock second. Okay, Frank, back to you.
Okay, Jimmy, and while they have the yellow flag up, we have a few more results from the world of sports and tennis today. Two results from West Germany in the World Championship Tennis Green Group at Munich. Arthur Ashe won first prize of $12,000. He beat Bjorn Borg 6-4, 7-6. Meanwhile, in Dusseldorf, Ergen Fassbinder won the West German indoor singles title 6-3, 6-3, 6-4. He beat Bernard Mignot of Belgium. Two important scores you might have missed last night. In the first round of the NCAA college basketball tournament at Tulsa, Oklahoma, Notre Dame beat Kansas 77-71. Meanwhile, in Lubbock, Texas, Maryland knocked off Creighton 83-79. So, Notre Dame and Maryland meet Thursday night in a critical Midwest regional game. The National Commissioners Tournament at Louisville, Kentucky was won this afternoon by Drake, and it was an upset win, an 83-76 victory over Arizona. And in the first round of the National Invitation Tournament here in New York, South Carolina whipped Connecticut 71-59. And in golf, again, Jack Nicklaus has won the $158,000 Doral Open. Okay, let's go back to Jim McKay, Sam Posey, and Chris Economaki. And Chris, you're live in Phoenix.
We're back again live and still under the yellow in the Phoenix 150. There is the race leader, as recomputed recently here by the scorers, Johnny Rutherford, the current holder of the Indianapolis 500 championship. The pace car is still on the track as some debris is swept up coming out of turn two. Now, that's the second time today that a yellow flag has come out, not because of an accident or a spin, but because of this debris, whether it's something that keeps blowing from the desert or whether it is this hole, we're not sure. We would think that this hole here is the reason, but there appears to be no way they can patch it up, so they just, I suppose, keep trying to sweep stuff into it to fill it up a little bit, Sam. Lots of races coming up on the championship trail on April 6th. It's going to be Trenton, New Jersey. That'll be the next one. And, of course, the Indianapolis 500 time trial, Saturday, May 18th. The Indianapolis 500 itself on Sunday, May 25th. Of course, ABC Sports will be bringing you that one again this year. We are getting a green flag. Johnny Rutherford, the leader, as they take the green. Gordon Johncock is in second place, and A.J. Foyt is third. They're spread out a little bit at the moment. They are in traffic, and we'll see how that situation begins to develop. Yes, Sam?
Okay, now this is the ideal tactical situation for Johnny Rutherford. He's leading, and he has a clear track, and he's already established, a second and a half lead. This couldn't have favored him more. The whole juxtaposition of pit stops and yellow flags have seen him with a clear track, less than 50 laps to go. He should be able to go the rest of the race without another stop. At the moment, Rutherford in a commanding situation.
Does it seem to you, however, Sam, that Gordon Johncock may have the faster car?
I think that's possible, but you know, Jim, the thing we have to realize out here in these USAC races is that the cars can be changed in the pit stops. They can even be changed and adjusted by the driver himself. In consequence, the cars that started the race are now different, so to speak, in terms of their handling. And I think that whatever may have been wrong with Rutherford's car at the beginning, it was very slight if it was, may have been corrected now. And tactically, he's in a tremendous position.
There are just 44 laps left in the race. It'll be 43 right now as he crosses the start-finish line again. Going to get a lap timing on the leader at this point.
Now, let me tell you a couple of things that he's up against in the cockpit there. It's crucial to understand that although on the screen here, we've got a car that seems to be moving smoothly around the racetrack, skimming along, that inside the cockpit, he is fighting an incredible battle. At this stage in the race, he's probably extremely tired. He's got a neck brace to help him combat the G-forces of the turns. Right here in these bumpy turns, he's had to fight the steering wheel back and forth every lap.
All right, 26.1 was the time for the lap. Get the speed chart over there, Sam. Let's take
certainly
a look at
do. That looks like 137 miles an hour. Okay.
137 on this tight racetrack, not only with four turns, but with a dogleg on the backstretch. At this tiring time of the race, is still pretty fast.
Oh, it's extremely fast, and Rutherford is one of these drivers who is very good by himself on an empty racetrack. He's done a great deal of testing for Goodyear tires, both here and at Indianapolis, and he's now in a groove. He'll be able to rip these laps off one after another. He's excellent at this, and he's proven, of course, that he's also very aggressive through the traffic, although at the moment the traffic is ahead of him by almost half a lap. He'll have maybe three clean laps before he gets into the thick of it. Only one, however, before he has to pass one of the tail enders.
Well, we have just a moment here, Sam, and things are not changing. I'd like to alert people to ABC's Wide World of Sports coming up over most of these ABC stations immediately following our live race coverage here. It might amaze you to know what is the sport we cover that has the most number of live spectators. It is the London to Brighton run for veteran automobiles, the newest car allowed, 1904. We took another trip down there, Phil Hill and I in one car, Jackie Stewart and Lord Montague in another British car. We're going to be showing you that today. But also, we're going to be showing you by satellite from Austria, ski flying, the World Ski Flying Championship. Distances well over 500 feet being achieved by these athletes. And then a look with movie star James Caan at a strange sport called rollerball. It's not a sport that exists. It is the sport featured in a movie that Jimmy is coming out in that projects us theoretically and mythically into the next century. Rollerball turns out to be the most violent sport that man has yet devised. We'll be taking a quick look at the sport of rollerball and discussing the possible social implications with Jimmy Caan. So coming up in Wide World, ski flying by satellite, London to Brighton with Phil Hill and Jackie Stewart, and rollerball with Jimmy Caan. That's 4:30 Eastern, 3:30 Central and Pacific over most of these ABC stations, and I'm talking about today. The race drivers were kind enough not to change the standings during that discussion of our upcoming programming, so the leader is still Johnny Rutherford in the green number two.
I think if you want to look ahead to the 21st century, here's an example right here. Some of the technology that exists in automobile racing at this point in time will probably just be filtering down into the standard passenger car in the year 2000.
If you've just joined us, the young man at my side, Sam Posey, is a kind of a renaissance man of our time, race driver, well-known in the American road racing circuits, once finished fifth at Indianapolis a couple of years ago, raced here last fall. This year is going to be driving for the BMW team on yet another circuit. He is a painter of note, and just finishing his own book, and makes furniture.
Yeah, I must say the furniture thing is some of the hardest stuff I've ever done to make people comfortable of all sizes, big and small. It's very much the same problem as they've got out here on the racetrack to make one car suit very many different people. And I wouldn't want to be a cheap mechanic down there, would you?
I liked it yesterday when you were standing talking to Al Loquesto, one of the drivers in this race, and people, people looking would have said, what is the intense discussion between these two race drivers? They're probably talking about cams or pistons or something. They were talking about the fact that Al Oquesto is a chain of furniture stores and Sam was trying to sell him some stock. Back to the race. Johnny Rutherford, the leader. And at this point, we have 116 of 150 laps gone by. Just 34 laps left in the race. They should be able to go, most of these cars, the rest of the way on their fuel supply.
Okay, now Johnny is coming into a knot of traffic with about five or six cars in it. Now, the advantage that he has here on a majority of the other cars is that his car is able to run high in the groove. As a result, he's able to pass cars more easily. And so the traffic that might bother another car, I think he'll breeze right through it. It's nicely spaced at the moment, you know. If you're a driver and you're out there at this point, what you want to see as you're coming up to pass people is if they're not in a clump. Clumps really scare you because there's just no way through them. But if they're spaced with a car length or two between them, you know you can hopscotch through them, taking them one at a time, considering each pass as an individual one, not complicated by the fact that maybe two or three guys there.
Okay, Johnny Rutherford still leading the race. Back in the pack is Gary Bettenhausen, like several other drivers in this race, the son of a famous race driver, but a great driver in his own right, and I should think perhaps the most tired man of all these tired men out there right now. Last year, Gary had a very bad accident. His left arm is visibly weaker, and it looks like it might be painful to him, and that must make it tough to steer that car, Sam.
Oh, it must. He's just been lapped by Johnny Rutherford, and I'm amazed that Gary has shown the stamina in this race that he has. Now, here's a driver with far more skill than he's able to exhibit right now. I mean, the critical path for Gary Bettenhausen in this race is his physical fitness. It's not a question of his skill or the Thermo King car that he's driving, which is an excellent car, could be further up in the hunt.
There are the leaders, once again, Johnny Rutherford, the current Indy 500 champion, the champion of the year before, Gordon Johncock, three-time champion A.J. Foyt, and we'll be right back. Sometimes you write us letters and say, when the leader has a good lead, show us the battles back in the pack. At this moment, there are no battles back in the pack. Gordon Johncock would be the only story who should he start moving up on Johnny Rutherford right now. Johncock in second place, remember, led much of the race, appeared to have the faster car. As Sam Posey pointed out, the faster car situation can change during the running of a race. The fuel situation, adjustments made to the car by pit crews and by the driver himself. You see a relationship between second place and the leader coming out of turn four right now. That is Johnny Rutherford. And again, as he goes low down there in turn one, that's the bumpy part. And going through there, we can just about make it out. If you watch, you can almost see that rear end lifting a little bit, and to a lesser extent coming out of turn four. But again, I think, Sam, you might reiterate what that actually feels like to the race driver.
It almost wrenches the steering wheel right out of your hands. It's that abrupt. And I might say that, you know, here we are watching the best car in the race, not the worst. This is a guy who, with his team, has managed to sort out these bumps better than anyone else, and that's why he's out front. The bad guys way in the back are in twice the trouble that he is.
23 laps left in the race. Chris Economaki is with the wife of the current leader, Betty Rutherford. Okay, Chris.
Thanks, Jim. Well, we're going to get a word with her just a moment. We have to wait till the time is right because she's his official timer. And we don't want to interrupt the scheme of things. Everything calm and collected, Betty?
I hope so.
You nervous?
Always.
Okay, she's a very busy woman, a helpful wife. And this is what the Indianapolis winner's wife is doing here in Phoenix today. She's his official timer and scorer and doing a very fine job at it. Back to you, Jim.
Hey, you know, the championship car circuit is beginning to look more and more like the European Grand Prix circuit with Wyatt sitting, keeping the lap charts and so forth, although technically they're not in the pits, they're behind the steel barrier. There is the husband of the lady that you were just watching, and she kept herself busy. She told me once that she'd rather do that than just watch because it helps distract her. There's the good-looking father of two who won last year's Indianapolis 500, and since then has had a very good time. He's been doing the things that Indianapolis winners do, but different things than they used to do in the past. For example, he was invited to play in a pro celebrity golf tournament at Turnberry in Scotland. Went over there and played with Tom Weisskopf and said it opened up whole new vistas for him.
Okay, let me say something.
Here's Rutherford driving what appears to be in full control and everything very calm. The fact is there are two cars about 100 yards ahead of him right now. One of the two is Johnny Parsons. Johnny Parsons, from about the fifth lap to the 12th lap, held up Johnny Rutherford very, very badly. Now, he sees him ahead. He can see what car it is that's ahead. Now, he's coming up on him
now.
It's no problem this time. It's no problem. He screams right by him. But what I'm getting at is that even when a guy appears to be leading comfortably, there are many anxieties, things that he's remembering from laps before, which may give him trouble again.
Does the weariness out there affect your concentration?
Oh, it certainly does. I mean, the minute the pain gets to you, your neck begins to hurt, your back begins to go, then it's trouble. Now, here's a guy, Billy Vukovich, who's driven a very smooth and capable race. Typically, a fourth-place race generally is one of those smooth, capable races, and here he is. You'll notice he's not brushing the wall. He's not really hurling the car into the corners, but he's made no mistakes either. Each of his pit stops has been very smooth and fast. And the whole operation, the Cobra team, I think is characterized by this no-nonsense approach. And, of course, this is the teammate to Pancho Carter, who made the strategic move earlier in the race to try to go one less pit stop. And that didn't work out, but here's his teammate, Vukovich, going fine.
Vukovich was Rookie of the Year at Indianapolis in 68. Here comes rookie Chuck Gurney into the pits. And we may mention in the very early going that Chuck Gurney is in his first championship car race today. He has raced in smaller cars, 25-year-old carpenter by trade, and he has made a big impression. For example, Sam, even before he qualified here, you said, this is a driver that impresses me. This could be a Poyter and Andretti of the future.
I'm very impressed by him. He's very resourceful. The car scene doesn't scare him. He was nervous, but he was nervous because he was trying to do well in the race in his first impression on everybody here. Not because he was afraid of the car or afraid of the speed or the traffic or any of the things that might make people afraid. Very capable guy.
Another point about that automobile is that it is a Chevrolet stock block. That's the one that could be the wave of the future for next year. The race goes on. Rutherford is still the leader, and we will return. Nearing the end of the race now in the Phoenix 150, we have 13 laps, less than 13 to go in the competition. Johnny Rutherford is still the leader. Jim McKay here with Sam Posey and Chris Konomacki. Just before we went away, we were talking about rookie Chuck Gurney. One thing we should mention is he is no relation to Dan Gurney, the great racing driver and car owner. You might have been wondering about that. Johnny Rutherford still the leader in the race. The situation has not changed, and John appears to be having no problems with his car.
The Chuck Gurney situation is interesting. He's running one of the stock block engines, as you said. What this means is that he's being basically blown off on the straightaway, which is what's going to happen if you have 300 to 400 horsepower less than the next guy.
Well, that's similar to what happened to you when you drove here last fall in a Formula 5000 car, right?
Exactly. Now here he is. He's going to go almost as well through the turns as anybody else. Well, now, the minute I said that, look what happens. Dahlenbach virtually rushes by him. What good is this? All right, we've got a spin. It's the Bottas car right there in turn two.
Okay, that is Johnny Parsons up against the wall, up against the barrier, I should say, in turn two, and he's moving.
Looks okay. I don't think the car is seriously damaged. It may not be damaged at all.
However, that yellow flag could change the situation in the race here. The cars are going to be closing up under the yellow, and that could mean trouble for Johnny Rutherford as we have 10 laps to go. It's Johnny Parsons Jr. in car number 94 up against the barrier in turn two. The Vada Special Offenhauser, Johnny Parsons from Indianapolis, Indiana. All right, as the yellow flag is out, we're going to go away and come back, see what happens. We're still running under the yellow as we come to you live from the Phoenix 150. There are less than 8 laps to go, so there will be 7 laps to go in the race, and the question arises as to whether they can get the track cleaned up and Johnny Parsons' car out of the way in time to get a green flag before this race is ended. As a guess, we would think that they would be able to do that. But what do you think, Sam?
I think so. The pace car has slowed almost to a crawl. So here's Parsons' car. He's going again now. We'll get the green in a lap or two at the very most and be running green to the finish, looks like, unless there's another accident.
Pretty warm up here on top of the grandstands as the temperature gets up somewhere around 80. Of course, down on the track, it's hotter than that. Compared to the air-conditioned comfort in which sit our producer, Chet Forty, our director, Larry Cam, our technical director, Johnny Allen, down in our mobile unit, A.J. Foyt. And can you get the number on that car slowing down in turn one? That could foul things up there again.
Good. It could be Dick Simon there.
It's one of those white cars, but the way the sun is glinting off the side, it's impossible to see the number right now.
It is Dick Simon.
Yeah.
And this could be real trouble. This could yet let the race run through to the finish under the yellow. Even worse, Rutherford, oh no, he sees it and is slowing down. Thank goodness. The whole field is bearing down on Simon at the moment.
Only 60 laps to go.
In a moment, but Rutherford sensed what was going on.
Less than 6 laps to go in the race. No matter what happens, if they finish under the yellow, they finish under the yellow. It's as simple as that. We're going to be going off the air in a hurry here. We'd like to remind you that next on Wide World of Sports, on most of these stations, is the World Ski Flying Championship, London to Brighton Veteran Car Run, a report on the futuristic, mythical sport of rollerball with Jimmy Connor on most of these ABC stations. The leaders in the race, as we have them unofficially, Johnny Rutherford, the leader, Gordon Johncock is second, A.J. Foyt is third, Bill Vukovic is fourth, Steve Prisiloff is fifth, and Tom Sneva, despite his spin and his troubles, is still running sixth in the competition. Those are the leaders. As another lap goes by, we only have five left.
They have Simon under tow now, and that's encouraging. I think we'll get the green momentarily.
Now, I was just going to say, if and when we get the green, Gordon Johncock right now is no more than 100 yards behind Johnny Rutherford, but he does have three cars in between them, so he's really going to have to go.
He is, but it's a very real possibility that he could close the gap. The extraordinary thing is how many cars are still running. We started with not very many, but we've got as many as ever finished this race. Very high reliability factor this year, in spite of the heat.
They're getting Dick Simon off the track as quickly as they can, led by the tow truck. He is now coasting into the pits. Okay. When they come by this next time, by our computations, we'll have 4 laps to go in the race when they come by this time. And there's the stopwatch of Betty Rutherford, the wife of the leader in the pits. Started to say before, she told me when she really likes to do that because it takes her mind off the possibilities on the racetrack.
I would think one would want to take your mind off it. This could be an extremely tense finish. Johnny, of course, wants to get the jump on the field. He's in the ideal position to do it. He did it before. Will he be smiling at the end of 4 laps?
Well, we're going to find out as we continue to come to you live from Phoenix. Going to be a wild finish if Gordon Johncock stands on it and tries to get by those 3 cars in a final effort to catch Johnny Rutherford.
Certainly.
Remember, the 2 cars, and the 2 drivers, I should say, that we're talking about, are the last 2 winners of the Indianapolis 500.
Okay, there'll be just 3 laps to go when we come back on. I've already seen Johncock rehearsing his move to the outside. He's got to dispose of Bettenhausen right away.
The starter has the green flag and the white flag in his hands right now. The white flag, of course, meaning 1 lap to go, and they'll come pretty close together here. We said, by our figures, we have less than 4 laps to go. It should be 3 laps to go in the race. The pace car is now off. They're going to get it. The green flag is out.
I imagine Johncock's racing already.
Yep.
There he's on the outside.
Rutherford going into turn one, going over those bumps, and really having to hold that car, remember.
Well,
Johncock has passed 1 of the 3 cars. There he is.
Yeah. But Rutherford's got that little lead that he needs. I think it's going to be awfully tough for Gordon to make up this gap.
I would have to agree with you. However, there are just those 2 cars between them. Should any problems develop for Rutherford, or if Johncock has hidden horsepower we don't know about, he would not have too much trouble getting past them. It's Carter and Vukovic, the teammates that he has to pass.
Exactly. They're probably having a dispute of their own.
A.J. Foyt has come into the pits, so it's not going to be as good a finish for him as he had hoped. There he is. Looks like the end of the day for A.J. He was not very happy all this weekend. I don't know what the problem is, but A.J. was kind of down, unhappy with the car, and it looks like he's going to end up the way he started, although at one point he was officially called the leader in the race. The white flag is out. This is the final lap.
Rutherford's in all sorts of good shape. He's got a clear track. Foyt has just rejoined the race. He probably lost a position or two with that last-minute stop. Rutherford in awfully good shape. There's no traffic ahead of him on the track at the moment, and nobody close behind him either. He's in an impregnable position if he doesn't make a mistake or something doesn't go wrong with his car.
Stand by for the checkered flag for Johnny Rutherford, the current Indianapolis 500 champion, being cheered by his wife as he went past the finish line, has won the Phoenix 150. Now she can relax at least for another week.
Very
very nice tactical victory. This was not an easy race by any means. If Rutherford appeared to be leading for a while, it was really only 10 or 15 minutes.
Second place goes to Gordon Johncock, and we believe A.J. Foyt probably dropped back to fourth or fifth behind Billy Vukovich and Steve Krissalot. The executive producer of ABC's Championship Auto Racing is Rune Arledge, and remember the travel arrangements are made through and a promotional fee paid by United Airlines, offering more wide-body 747 and DC-10 friendships to more cities across your land. The spirit of friendship service is catching. Once again, the 1975 Phoenix 150 champion is the current Indianapolis champion, Johnny Rutherford. This has been a presentation of ABC Sports, recognized around the world as the leader in sports television.